Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning. Great. This side was ready. This side, just checking, everybody. Hey, my name's Danny. If we've never had a chance to meet, I get to work here, and we are going to dig into this parable in just a second. And speaking of parables about seeds, many of you in this room are enjoying the season you're in because you love this thing called gardening, or you have a farm, or you have an orchard, because right now you are absolutely enjoying the fruit of what you're creating. Or some of you are in the spot where you are building what will become in summer and fall. I know about this much about gardening, and this much that I know is it takes as much to keep it looking healthy as it does getting it there. So to ground into our message today, I want to show you this picture of a fun little before and after scene of transformation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd love the garden on the right just to be there automatically. I don't want to do the work that it requires that's on the left to get it to the right. But we're going to ground in this a little bit today. And when we think about what we're about is we're just going to look at, hey, how are we growing up and out? We're looking at how are we growing up and out. And if you're a follower of Jesus in the room today, I'm going to invite you today that you would think about how in this current season of your life, your faith in Christ is inviting you to grow up and out. And you might be with us today, and if you are, fantastic, thanks for visiting with us, that you're not a follower of Jesus, you're just curious about faith, I'd invite you to ground in the message about how is your current season of life making the most impact that thrills you? What is it you're doing in life that just excites you? We're going to look at Matthew 13, 3 through 9 today. You can grab the Bible in front of you, you can go to the Bible app that you have. If you brought your own Bible, you could turn there. But as we look at it, that clip from The Chosen is actually a really fun imagery of often how public teaching in first century went. Whether it was Jesus that we have the parables of or is several different environments, there was no stage, there was no microphones, there definitely was no spotlights. There was just an open forum, and Jesus taught in a lot of parables, and it would be like that with the crowds, that there would be the echo. That's often one of the roles that the disciples would have, is they would echo what Jesus was sharing. And when we think about parables, the reason Jesus taught them is it were stories. There were stories that connected right where people were at. And in the story, there was always this illustrative truth. There was this illustrative meaning. There was a connection to what they're going through. So we're going to look at Matthew 13, 3 through 9. I'm going to invite you to follow along as it also will be up on the screen. Verse 3. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground and where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Quick check-in. How many of you heard this parable before? Good majority of us in the room. If you have a faith conviction in Jesus and you've been around church for more than 12 months, you've likely heard this parable at some point in time. It's kind of one of the classics. But there's more to this that I want to dig in today, and we're going to look at a little bit of a multi-layered approach. There's often this has been taught, or you hear it taught, as in what type of soil are you? And honestly, that's such a binary way of thinking about it, such a, like a one or other way of thinking it, because what Jesus invites us to is like we actually get to be all those types of soils at the same time. So we're going to dig into that today. Before we dig into it, one of the powerful moments of Jesus teaching in parables was he was often inviting the crowd to find the connection point of where they were at. And this parable at the season of Jesus' teaching was a little bit of, are you really paying attention moment? It really was an invitation saying, hey, you've been following me, you've been observing, you other religious leaders, you people on the fringe, you've been around, but are you really listening? Because if you are, where are you actually seeing transformation? So I want to reread it before we ground into two areas. Let's start again in verse 3. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He or she who has ears, let him hear. Here's a multi-layered approach. Jesus is constantly inviting transformation. The same Jesus we just sung about that is resurrected from the dead, that changes all things, he invites transformation in every spot of our life. There's a multi-layered approach that Jesus is always inviting us to. Every nook, every cranny, every area of our life, every area of how we think, every area of how we respond, Jesus is constantly inviting transformation. The transformation is from what we want to always what he calls us to be in his kingdom. Any invitation of Jesus is life change. It begins with this beautiful picture of salvation that we acknowledge that we are broken by sin and we need a Savior. And out of that, there's this constant ongoing transformation journey we're on. There's a big theological word for that. It's called sanctification. In that process, Jesus is making us more like the Imago Dei, the image of God that we see God wants humanity to look like. We get that opportunity. We get to do that. And in doing that, there's always these moments in life that we have to come to tension points, wrestling points. There's moments where God's Spirit will speak and we're like, whoa, time out. I didn't give you permission to go there. Not today. And Jesus goes, cool, I'm God, you're not, so let's go there. And so in those moments when we feel that resistance, we feel that invitation, we get to discover what type of soil is that? We also get to just discover going, oh, I didn't even realize that that was a spot that God, that I may need some transformation. Like we're made aware of those things like, oh, I didn't even know that was a blind spot for me. Cool, let's see what that's about. And it sounds really fun when you're in a moment like this, but when you're actually in the crunch moment, it's like, ooh, okay, I don't know. Maybe that crunch moment is driving south on the 101 during like 5 to 7 p.m. for some of us. Guilty as charged, I'm just gonna call it out. Maybe it's that moment where our kid is just asking why for the 937th moment of the day. Maybe it's that moment where we get to remind that person we have devoted our life to in life and our death in marriage that it's right in front of you. I heard that chuckle. Maybe it's that moment where the boss is just like right here. And if he goes one more level, you know that cork that you've got stuffed is just gonna blow. Maybe it's that moment where you're sitting quietly and you just have a, huh, I didn't know that. And so in the, huh, I didn't know that, I want to look at two of these soils. I want to look at two of these verses and I'll pluck on because each one of us in this room is every bit of these soils. Every single one of us in some part of our life is one of these types of soils. So we're going to deep dive into two of them. Go to Matthew 13, verse 5. It says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. Okay, now here's what's really fun. Immediately after this, and the crowd scene we saw visually, there's a moment where Jesus gets his disciples together, and the disciples go, what? Huh? And he goes, yeah, I get it. You weren't really listening. Thanks for echoing everything I had to say, but let's really dig into this. So if you're curious, it's not going to be on the screen, but you can jump in the Bible or the Bible app. We're going to jump over through Matthew 13, verse 20. Matthew 18 through 23, Jesus actually gives an explanation of this. So in Matthew 13, verse 5, you can actually connect it to Matthew 13, 20 and 21. Jesus says this, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This is when God moves, you're like, oh, Jesus, yes, thank you so much. I feel that. I feel the love. I feel the acknowledgement. I feel the grace. I experience it. They receive it with joy. Yet, they have no root in themselves, but endure it for a while. And when tribulation, so another word you could use is trials, or persecution arise on account of the word, the message, they immediately fall away. There's a word that often this could be summarized in. It's this. It's distractions. See, a distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Distraction. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. This is a moment where God speaks and we're like, ah, can't wait to see the life change that's going to bring. And then there's something that distracts us. And Jesus says that there's a trial, a tribulation, or even persecution that could draw us out. See, in those distraction moments, when we hear God moving, something in us goes, okay, well, wait a minute. That's going to equal change. And for many of us in this room, like the 99%, change is not enjoyable. We have a resistance to change, often because of comfort. Change doesn't equal comfort. Change equals growth. Change equals transformation. Change equals stretch. Change equals a shift in our paradigm and perspective. Change is the invitation of Jesus. Because it's not just a change in pattern, it's a life change. It's a holistic transformation of how we approach every area of life. Not one area, every area. And this type of soil, when God moves, we hear it and we're like, wait a minute. I'm excited about what could be, but I don't know if I'm excited about what it would take to get there. And this trial and tribulation, I want to give you a word that could resonate here. There's a lot of various things in each of our lives, but in a general one, it would be this. When our priorities, notice our, self, our priorities are infringed upon. When what we want, God begins to move in, and we're like, well, wait a minute. If that's what I want, and it doesn't line up with what Jesus calls me to, I have to shift. That's often our language. I have to shift. Versus I get to transform. Those are two different postures. I have to versus I get to. And when we feel those moments and there is a shift, there is a tension, our priorities can change, something around us can impede that. Trials, tribulations, or persecution. I've only met a few people in my life that have been truly persecuted for their faith in the sense of they were threatened with their life. There's many of us that feel inconveniences around our faith from people outside, family, neighbors, coworkers, but persecution is a strong word. I don't want to sit on that today. I want to sit on the trials and tribulations because here's a trial. Here's another word I would use. Mockery. When we might be mocked for the change we're going through. Now, what could that even look like? Often it can look like your time. Hey, Jesus, I'm convicted. You see you moving. I get excited that you could use my life in a powerful way in someone else's world. And all of a sudden, I start making the shift. I start making the change. I start seeing a difference. And some voice over here goes, well, why are you doing that? Like, why would you change your schedule? We always used to do this. Hey, it could be that voice of like, hey, you maybe feel conviction as a family. Or as a roommate, they go, hey, what does it look like for us to do like healthy life and community in our living room? You start making changes. You start seeing a shift. And all of a sudden, there's a voice that goes, yeah, but that means we all have to change. It may mean that parents, when your kids push back on the change you're inviting into the living room as a model, don't let them win. Hey, what does it look like when you think of a different conviction of how you approach your values, your priorities? And you hear a voice, and sometimes that voice is within us. One of the interesting moments that I have often found in discipling people and being discipled myself is this. I can be my own worst critic. I can be my own worst critic because I am either believing a voice that someone else has said about me at some point in time, or I got to remind myself, I'm a broken human being because of sin. I get to step into transformation in even how I think about myself, how I talk about myself, how I view my world. So when we're distracted, we're involved in a thing that prevents us from giving our full attention. It's like the seed that fell on rocky soil. There's a great amount of joy to begin with, and then we're distracted by something else. See, in those moments of our life, our full attention is not on what Jesus is calling it to. Our full attention is on what we want. And this is where that song, the blessing we sing about, the Alpha, the Omega, the Holy One, there is a language in how we submit to Jesus. I know that's a heavy word at times. But there's a power in the resurrected Christ that if Christ changes everything, we get to step into that transformation even in those areas that bring uncertainty. There are moments in your life, there's moments in my life where I've had God move in a way that's on rocky soil. I'm excited about what could be, and then I allow something else to distract me. And in that distraction, it can be the trial that I go through in just the shift, the growth. I start buying the lie that it's not going to be worth it. And the joy gets taken away. And what I found powerful is God's voice brings that back. What I have found is those areas of my life where they've been rocky, where God brings me joy and I start responding and then I shift back, that moment Jesus brings back. That has always happened. And when I feel that the second time, there's sometimes a question I go, oh, interesting, I remember this moment. It was a few months ago, weeks ago, a few years ago, and now it's back. What happened? What was the shift? And that's the beauty of discipling, and that's the beauty of us spending time. That's the beauty of us showing up on Sundays in different environments, is we get to be reminded and we remind ourselves of what Jesus invites us into. So that's the first one. Second one, go to Matthew 13, verse 7. Jesus said, other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Okay, I'm going to invite you to jump over to verse 22. It's not going to be on the screen, but jump over there. Jesus says, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Here's a word that I would invite us to sit on. It's deception. Deception is this, tricking or misleading someone into believing something that isn't true. Tricking or misleading someone into believing something that isn't true. This is the moment in our lives when we get deceived at how the rest of the world operates compared to our faith. This choking language is very visceral in the moment, like in the text. The idea of stifling, hard to breathe, gasping for life, all that resonates here. When we're deceived, we're lured away. When we're deceived, we're lured away to something that is not as great as what Jesus would offer. This is actually the pattern a lot in the Old Testament. God moves. Children of Israel are excited. They think they've got it figured out. Something else lures them away. They cry out for rescue. God moves. Children of Israel are excited. They get excited over something else and they get lured away. They cry out. It's this pattern. It's a circular pattern. It happens in us. That's the beauty of regular being a part of community, connecting to faith, is that when we're deceived, we're lured away. And when we're deceived and lured away, we're actually believing voices that are not Jesus. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is he's going to move in a way that in you, when you're moving off what God is doing, what happens out of you is going to happen powerfully. And when we don't let that seed take root, we're going to constantly be pulled towards something else. There's many things that can fit in this, but language matters. And one of the things that I've found in working with people and in discipling people and being discipled myself is this really fun word in our culture. The word is should. Here's what can lure you away. Hey, our family should look like that other family. My career path should look different by now. The relationship I'm in or not in should be this. My portfolio should look like this by this time of my age. Should carries a weight. There's an obligation behind it. And should can actually be misused a lot. Think of how often you should on someone else. Yes, I had to slow myself down on that, just so you know. I know what you were thinking, Daniel. See, when we should someone else, we're dictating that they need to be doing something that they're not, as opposed to could. See, there's times in our lives that we can even go, man, I should be this follower of Jesus. I should, and we bring this weight of guilt on us. Last time I read the scriptures, there's only two forms of guilt that show up in the scriptures. The guilt that brings us to realize that we are broken by sin and we need a savior. That's it. It's not a heaping amount of guilt. It's a flat line. Are you broken by sin? Yes. Do you need a savior? Yes. That's it. The other type of guilt is the guilt that Satan uses. It's the guilt that Satan uses that brings the shame that you are not good enough. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you're feeling guilt over how you're living, that's not from God. Guilt stops at salvation. Invitation to transformation is constantly ongoing. See, the power of sanctification, the power of transformation is that we're constantly invited into and out of. Into life with Jesus, out of life with ourselves. Into life with Jesus, out of life with ourselves. The only time Jesus makes demands in the New Testament is against those who think they have it figured out. Every other time, Jesus is just inviting. He's inviting. Sometimes sternly, don't get me wrong, but there's a constant invitation. There are moments in my life where the seed of the rocky soil just gets choked out because I'm lured away by something else. And here's what's really powerful. All of us in this room are also moments where we have great soil in us. And when God speaks, it bears fruit. We get to realign ourselves all the time. We get to step into power and transformation. We get to see if we're distracted or deceived, what comes next. So let me illustrate this. Oh, I need my pen. Tell me, what are some of the fun things in your world that happen when you follow Jesus? That moment right there is the fun moment where some of us, like, we've been in a multi-ethnic church before and, like, talking in church is cool. That moment's the revelation how many of us may have not have been. So let's just set a standard. Talking church is absolutely okay, especially when you're asked a question, okay? I could have prefaced, hey, this is not rhetorical, really want an answer. What are some of the things in life that you enjoy when Jesus moves? Throw them out.
Joy.
Joy. Okay, you said freedom. You said peace. I got community. No, I can't really write that fast, but I am trying. What? Well, throw them out.
Love.
Alex, what'd you say? Content. What else? Mercy, grace, hope,
life.
Satisfaction. I heard one. Peace. What else?
Purpose.
Self-control. Ooh, wisdom. Humility, I heard that one. I heard one over here. Meaning.
Kindness.
Forgiveness. Amen to that.
Inclusion.
Completeness. Okay, those are all seeds, right? Here's what's really fun. If those are the seeds that are planted in us and we begin to embrace and they begin to shift us, here's what's really fun. What happens when God's Spirit pours into us? Where do all those things go? It overflows. And when it overflows, where do the things that have been us go? Out. And when they go out, what happens then? Into others, the world around us, the world we impact. And some of you are just cringing that I just made a mess of. That's okay. I know who you are. When God moves in us and those seeds take root and we live with peace, we live with completeness, we live with purpose, we live with forgiveness, we live with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, fruit of the Spirit. And then God continues to pour in us and those pour out of us, the community we're around, they hit them. In the right way. See, when you're known for being peaceful, when you're known for being loving, when you're known for being forgiving, when you know to have joy, when you know to be lived with purpose, people are curious. And when they're curious, you get to have conversations about that. They come to you and go, hey, I noticed that you're a really intentional dad. I noticed that you're probably one of the best bosses I've ever worked for. I noticed that you're a kind neighbor, unlike the other guy. I notice that you always do this. I notice this. I notice this. I notice this. And in the notices, what do we get? We get to share that. There's a power in discipleship outside of the church. There's a power of discipleship in the church. There's a power of discipleship in how we live. Because when we live in line with Jesus, all of those seeds that are constantly being invited and planted into us that God's word wants to give us, we get to do this. The resurrected Christ changes everything. And when we are invited into that, here's what's really powerful. We are on a mission. We're on a mission. And in that mission, we get to just show up and get curious about, hey, where there might be rocky soil in my life? Where might there be places where there's thorns choking things out? It is not a shame moment. It's an invitation. We get to just explore. We get to do a little bit of mindset, body, and investigation to go, hey, God, where are you speaking that I'm just not listening? That's a fantastic question. That's actually a fantastic question for the people you live with. Hey, where do you think I'm not showing fruit? Ooh, come on now. Let's have some fun table conversations. Hey, for the people that you know really well in life and know really you, when was the last time you just said to them, hey, how are you seeing me grow in my faith? That's a fun one. Another fun one is to yourself. Where do you want to grow? Where are you tired of being deceived and distracted in your faith? Because you're like, hey, I want to see God move here. I'm inviting God's spirit. I want to see change because when I see change, I get to impact other people. One of the things that I love about walking with Christ and what he's done in my life is the moments that I'm being transformed, and I kind of know it, but when other people start noticing it and they bring it up, and it's like, oh, wow, like it's making a connection. When we see impact, we're living on purpose. And one of the things that is so powerful is when we get off of our own self and we always get back in purpose. So I'm gonna give you two questions and then I've got a tangible thing about our church. Here's the first question. What impacts is your life having because of what Jesus is doing in you? Screenshot that, take a picture of it. But what impact is your life having because of what Jesus is doing in you? Get curious about that question. Notice, maybe, that if it's hard for you to answer the question, maybe because you're right now rocky or thorny soil. That's okay. Let's get curious about that. Let's step into transformation. Let's step into the power of the resurrection on that. Second question, where do you want to see Jesus do something in you? Or simply, where do you want to grow? What's an area of your life you're like, God, I'm really ready for you to do something here. I'm inviting your spirit to speak. I want to hear your word. I want to respond. I shared last week about the fact that as we lean into the Great Commission to go and make disciples, that we're going to be really focused on the Great Commission and who we are as a church and where we're going and all the different elements of our church and how that impacts. And I shared last week there's two specific areas currently that are going to be happening. One of them is groups. Groups is going to be a primary vessel for how we want to see discipleship happen. It's a powerful tool. It's a powerful way. And in that moment of groups, we're connected with each other. The second way is serving. If you're not connected to a group and you're not serving, I believe it's really hard to grow. And if you had to pick one, I would say serve. Because when you get out of yourselves and you're serving others, something powerful happens in us. Now, what does that look like? This summer, we're running an experiment. We're running a test. The test is this. We're going to do connect groups. Now, here's what a connect group is. If you've never been in a group, if you're new to Encounter, or it's been a millennia since you've been in a group, we want you to connect to a connect group. Here's what the connect groups are. Once a month, June, July, and August, they're going to meet for a social or serving opportunity just to build community. If you're new or never been in a group, we want you to be known. We want you to be connected. Possibly, those groups will launch in the fall. Because here's the other experiment. We're launching groups in the fall like we do, and out of that, we're going to be really intentional about how discipleship happens. As in, like, we want to see our groups discipling. In order to do that, we want alignment. In order to get alignment, we're inviting group leaders that want to launch in the fall to two specific trainings this summer. Don't worry, summer vacations, we're going to record them, so if you're not around, you can catch them. But we want to be in alignment. That means from men's ministry to women's ministry, student ministry, kids, Celebrate Recovery, like the whole gamut of our church, we get to do this. And here's what's powerful. Many of you are in groups. And in that, you get to invite new people. Groups are a primary way for discipleship, and we don't want to miss anybody. And in doing so, we get to see what God's going to be up to. I cannot tell you over the years of ministry how often someone's first exposure to a church was actually a group because they get invited. They got invited as a coworker. They got invited as a neighbor. They got invited as their kids played t-ball together. They got invited because someone bagged their groceries and that someone already worked there. And over the conversation bagging groceries, the person's like, I'd love to come to a group. See, what's really unique is when we as a community lean into transformation, it will happen. Because God shows up. The resurrected Jesus is not dead. He's
alive.
There you go. Got a couple of people. So in the alive, what do you want to be invited to? I'm going to go back to the two questions real quick. First one, what impact is your life having because of what Jesus is doing in you? I'd get really curious on that question. I'd invite a friend, a spouse, a neighbor, a roommate. Invite the people in your lives. Parents, ask your kids. Kids, ask your parents. Second one is this. Where do you want to grow? Where do you want Jesus to do something? I heard from several of you last week. Many of you know I give a book reference every time I communicate. Didn't do it last week. I heard from you, so I'm giving you two this week. Making up for lost time. Here's the first one. This is a really, both of these are formed around a discipleship perspective. It's by Jeannie Allen. Get out of your head. It's focusing on how do you listen to God's voice over anything else. It's a really powerful book. What I call a slow read. If you read it to read, you're going to miss it. So enjoy that. Second one is by Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges has been someone that I've enjoyed his writings. One of his main ones, The Joy of Fearing God, powerful book. This one is Growing in Your Faith. If you're a reader and just looking for something to sit in, I'd encourage either one of those. Before the team comes up and leads us in a song of response for worship, I want to just invite us in an open posture of prayer. So if you're open for me praying over you, Jesus, where do you want me to grow? Open your hands. Pray with me. The resurrected Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, the Holy One, thank you that you change us. Not because we're puppets, but because you invite us to live in your kingdom. So Jesus, here's what we're offering. We're offering our lives in a way that if you want to move in a specific way, move. Holy Spirit, speak loudly. We invite that. We know that there will be a tension point. We know that there will be a challenge. We know that you're with us. And we thank you that even when we're at rocky soil, thorny soil, or good soil, you're constantly sowing seed. Your word never fails. So Jesus, we invite that. We invite the transformation. May how we grow impact those around us. And impacting those around us, may we grow up and out for your kingdom. In your resurrected name we pray. Amen.